I want to express my respect and gratitude to the traditional people of Elko Island, the Yolngu people. I honour their culture, customs and traditions. I respect the land that we are on and acknowledge that the land is sacred, spiritual and special.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, and eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, Lia lambar bun gomuloko, bun gomuloko. Lia lambar bun gomuloko, bun gomuloko. Ga ngoro ga manguchi ga turura ga lia.
Welcome to Two Worlds, One Health, a podcast that explores beliefs about health and sickness from two different perspectives. I'm Luana Grant, and in this series, we journey alongside Dr. Sarah Hania to Northeast Arnhem Land, deep in the top end to Elko Island. Sarah is a senior research fellow at the University of Melbourne and works closely with communities to improve outcomes for First Nations peoples. In this episode, we'll uncover how every head, shoulder, knee and toe on Elko Island is affected by stigma, access to care and limited resources. Today, we speak to a team of researchers who are exploring what it means to walk together and work together in a united way. George Garambaka-Girawiwi, Ruth Gallimander-Durke, and Ros Beadle tell us how building trust and respect helps build solutions that honour both worlds.
We know there are really high rates of diabetes and heart disease in Galawinku and more broadly in the region. And the community were expressing a need for a different way of supporting people to move into a positive health journey rather than continuing to pass away very young, which is the cause of an immense amount of grief in the community.
There's too many deaths. We have so many funerals up here. So I'm very, very concerned about my people. I'm George. I'm a senior base researcher for about 15 years and more. I've been working for Darwin Menzies and with Peter Doherty in Melbourne as well.
My name's Ruth Gallimander and I work for Melbourne University and we do health research here based at Galawinku and I enjoy working with all the community here.
Hello, my name is Ros Beadle and I've been living here on Yolngu country in Galawinku since the start of 2022 when my family and I moved up here. I've been working closely with Gallimander and Garambaka since February this year and my role is to walk alongside Gallimander and Garambaka and the bigger Yolngu team and to contribute Balinda type of skills that are required to support the Walking Together project. My official title is Clinical Research Officer, and alongside Gallimander and Garambaka, we're all employed by the Peter Doherty Institute at the University of Melbourne.
I'd really love to hear a little bit more about the Walking Together project and what makes it so special.
The objective of the Walking Together program is for a Yolngu team of workers to be able to provide point-of-care health checks to participants who are interested in being part of the program.
The people here, they were just saying, I want checkup. Can you go to where we work? They were encouraging us to go to the camps to do the checks.
What we heard is that it was really important for people to be able to understand their results and also see their results very quickly rather than having long waits that can often happen in clinical settings.
So we worked together to help the community. We were looking at the health, diabetes and heart problems, and we did it for the community.
I help people through stigma. You know, I help people, like young people or elderly. I encourage them to get treatment, tell them to go to hospital. You know, health coaching. You know, I do that one as well. I mentor them, you know.
Stigma and shame around medical conditions is a serious issue in many remote Indigenous communities that is often not talked about, but can prevent people from seeking the care they need. This can lead to delayed treatment, hidden symptoms, and worsening health outcomes. Addressing stigma requires trust, open conversations, and community-led, culturally safe healthcare practices to ensure everyone feels safe accessing the care they need.
Can you talk a little bit about the challenges with stigma and what happens in the community with stigma? Is that stopping people from going to the clinic?
You're going to the clinic, So I encourage you. I urge them to go for medical quick review, just in case something might happen to them,
And do you feel that they're listening to you?
They're listening to me, because it's more Yolngu-led there,
Something that I am very conscious of with the current success we're having with the Walking Together program is that when we're out undertaking health checks with Yolngu participants, everyone is still clearly so comfortable and no one's in a hurry. People want to stay and ask questions. The team have developed a number of resources to be able to help describe the results to participants in a way that makes sense and also in a way that avoids the stigma and shame that Garrumbucka was just talking about. And that is often a contrast to the experience that people are having with a non-Indigenous clinician at a clinic or in a hospital setting. And participants are providing us a lot of feedback, noting that difference, which is really positive for us.
In previous episodes, we've explored the Gurutu system, a vital kinship network that shapes relationships and plays a significant role in health within the Yolngu community. But it's not just important among Yolngu themselves. When non-Yolngu or Balinda workers come to Elko Island, the Gurutu system becomes just as crucial in fostering understanding, connection and effective collaboration.
When Balinda workers come here, they're adopted by any people. Then they connect to our system, the Yolngu system. And that's how the people in the community will recognize the Balinda workers, because we give them Gurutu, and they know how they are related to the Yolngu people out in the community.
I think one of the things that has come up here is about trust, and that Gurutu system really helps to connect people and establish that trust between people, because if you don't know people, you're not going to trust them. Is trust something that's important?
When we go from that to Gurutu, that means that we work together hand in hand, Yolngu and Balinda together, to make this happen. And it did. Gurutu system is where everybody in the community has a Gurutu. You are people and they are related to each other. It's a kingship and everybody knows about that. And when the Balinda people adopted, we know they adopted to a family. All the people here at Kaliwingo, in the school, and health centre and elsewhere, they already has been adopted. And we know who they are and they are related to each one of us. So that's how we work together.
That's really interesting about the Gurutu system, because that's something completely new for Balinda down south. And I think that's really important for people to be aware, because it's such a different way of working and a lot of people wouldn't know that when they first come here.
We work within the Gurutu system. So when people come to work, unlike non-Indigenous staff who go to work and work alongside strangers, people are coming to work and working alongside family. Those relationships are constantly acknowledged. And something that I've been taught about as I've been adopted into the Galawinku community is that there are different characteristics to those relationships. So Garrumbucka is my grandfather. And so there's the Māori-Gutara relationship. Due is my sister-in-law, so there's the sister-in-law relationship, and there's different characteristics of those relationships that we need to observe. And because we do observe that in the workplace, rather than just coming to a job and being an employee, it really supports people to be able to come into a safe space and be themselves when they're coming to work. Whereas my experience in some other agencies and services is that you're really expected to come to work, observe a Ballander work ethic, and work on the terms of that institution that more often than not is led by Ballander people.
In every department, yeah, we need a cultural awareness. Yeah. That is important. So Ballander will know where are we coming from and going to. Yeah. That is the important Ngāwi Tāo that Ruth was telling you. That is how the system goes.
My biggest learning over the years that I've been mentored by Indigenous people is to take a lot of time to listen, not to come in with the assumption that Ballander ways are the ways that we work.
I really love the way you say about the importance of listening and slowing down and not trying to enforce your way of telling people what to do. Such an important point. This project was really Yolngu led. You didn't let the Ballander just come in and do their way. Could you talk about what that means to you and how you did that?
People weave the mat from a small mat and they weave around and around. Then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how the Yolngu, working together with the Ballander friends, that's how the system goes. Then we work together as one to help each other to work here at Kaliwungu hand in hand.
One way that I've come to understand that is that as a Ballander person, I bracket my own experiences and own perspectives and are really led and mentored by Yolngu colleagues like Woolloomanda and Gurrumbakka to be able to teach me what is needed in the community. Nobody likes to be told what to do. Everybody likes to be part of the solution. As a Ballander person who's grown up in Tasmania, I do not have the solution to issues that are happening for Yolngu people. It's the Yolngu people who have the solutions, but there's an expectation that Yolngu people, in order to be able to reach some of those solutions and address problems, we have to all work within Ballander systems. Now, what I'm able to bring to the program is my familiarity with Ballander systems. And as Ruth often describes, we have done our best to set up working in a two-way approach. So we work in Yolngu ways alongside, hand in hand, with working in Ballander ways. And that way, we are finding by working in that way, we're actually walking forward together.
To walk together, it's a hand in hand. Yolngu ka Ballander.
That's beautiful. Such a lovely way to put it together. I wanted to go back before the project, and I know that you did these wonderful workshops. Would someone like to share a little bit about what actually was the process?
We make a co-design. Everybody chucked in their ideas. We made a plan, a big plan, both in Yolngu and Ballander. And we got all the organizations together. We did probably 6 or 7 co-design. We had different peoples in different days for the whole day. All the young people, the elderly woman and the elderly diramo and the young woman, men also. The last program we did that was aged care.
The purpose for the co-design was to design the project and to have lots of contributions from community so we could ensure that this was going to be a program that was meaningful, accessible and culturally safe for Yolngu community.
And I was there to help them and I explained now everything what we were doing, looking at diabetes and heart problems, and we were talking about what is best for the Yolngu people and what will we do to help the people here at Kaliwungu. Because here at East Arnhem we've got higher rate diabetic, the heart problems. Why do our people get that sickness?
Mm-hmm.
it's really incredible that you did so many co-design workshops, and it seems like you covered pretty much all the community, all the different demographics, which I'm not sure has been done before. I wanted to ask, were there any challenges during the co-design process that you came across? Any difficulties, people working together or people getting their voices out, how you overcame any of those difficulties?
I think that's a really interesting question, Sarah. And the first thing that comes to mind in terms of a challenge with co-design was supporting community members to understand the concept of co-design. Design can mean many things, but it's become a bit of a popular way of doing things with community.
The people said, we haven't seen or heard about the co-design, what you are doing to bring all the community and the organizations together to do this.
It's quite new, co-design. We have to ask a way to find out how Balanda co-designs mean.
The whole co and co-design is a bit useless if nobody knows what it means. And Gulamunda and Gurrumbakka and I spent quite a few weeks supporting each other to understand what it meant on Yolngu terms before we even introduced the idea and invited people to the co-design workshops. And what emerged from that is Gulamunda and Gurrumbakka developing some Yolngu metaphors to support people to understand the purpose behind co-design and the potential of co-design.
There's a metaphor for co-design. It's like snowballing. You're a little bit of snow and they roll the snowball and it gets bigger. That's how to take the message for their health, you know, how to reach the message to our Yolngu people here.
Now, there may be no snow on Elko Island, but Gulamunda shared another beautiful story that serves as a powerful metaphor for co-design and collaboration, showing how working together can create something truly meaningful.
Like an anthill. When the ant is going to make a build anthill, imagine one anthill go and make the anthill. And then this couple, and the couple helps build that anthill. And then other ant come and they want to build it bigger, the anthill. Then you see that anthill getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the ant are coming. It is now describing about the people, how the people comes together and works like three or two. Then they come together to build that. Then more people comes in. And more, and they become doing that job together.
Both are such beautiful metaphors. Thank you for sharing those. And I think we could put up some photos on the website with this episode just to demonstrate what you're talking about. I guess the follow-up question is if you could share any stories about how Yolngu culture and knowledge actually then influence the design of the program and influence the way that the project now is run.
I think something that's incredibly important to acknowledge is that Yolngu people are incredibly connected to culture, very strong culture, and have a vastly different worldview to Balanda or non-Indigenous people. And so that worldview can impact the way we see the world and understand the world. Sometimes that's referred to as different ways of knowing, doing and being. That's something that Ruth and George have taught me a lot about since I've started working with them. Now, for me, the centre of that is being led by a Yolngu team of workers with Balanda support workers walking alongside, but also bringing up the rear, not walking in the front. And in order to be able to have a strong team of Yolngu workers, the workplace needs to be culturally safe for them to come to work. So we talk about having a culturally safe program, but Gurrumbakka and Gulamunda have been absolutely central in establishing a workplace that is safe, comfortable, enjoyable for Yolngu staff. And in order to be able to think about how that has happened, I'm very conscious that there are lots of characteristics of this workplace that wouldn't be familiar with non-Indigenous people. We have to acknowledge that work itself is a very Balanda institution. it's very much considered a separate part of life to family and social life, whereas that's very much not the case in my experience working with Indigenous communities, and that Gurrumbakkar and Gulamanda have established a workplace which is where the social and cultural conditions are considered in a way that suits people to come to work. And I'll just give you an example of that. We know that many Yolngu people have a myriad of family and cultural commitments that they need to attend to day to day. And it is very challenging for anyone to commit to full-time work. And therefore, in establishing the worker roles for our program, we have offered everybody casual work and a lot of flexibility so people can come and go to and from work as family and community life allows. And we've had feedback from all of the staff that that really suits them.
One of the things I wanted to ask was about the different communication styles, because sometimes Balinda and Yolngu do have different communication styles. Sometimes Balinda just want to talk.
They talk.
Sarah, I think it's an excellent question you ask about different communication styles when we're walking together and taking this two-way learning and sharing approach. I'm very conscious that I have largely been mentored and educated in a Balinda system, and a big part of communicating is writing things down. And when we are dependent on Balinda systems for funding and reporting, we can't avoid that. But I just wanted to share a little anecdote from a couple of weeks ago, when something that the team are very conscious of is, while we are incredibly busy every day keeping up with all the health checks and the many other elements of the on-the-ground work, we also need to find time to reflect. This is an extended part of the co-design, that we need to reflect on what is working, what's not working, and then find solutions to anything that's not working. And part of that is having regular reflections on how we work, because it's a new project and we're trying to work in ways that respond to community needs and respond to team needs. And for that, we need to spend a lot of time listening to each other. And so we have, this is a very Balinda concept, but we are drafting a code of conduct in terms of how we work. And the Yolngu team are very good at just having conversations and dawal meetings about this. That as a Balinda support worker, I came along one day and said, it would be great if we could write this down, because the University of Melbourne would really like to see this in writing. And Gurrumbakkar Ngarrakul Mari laughed at me and said, Bangu, Yolngu don't need to write this down. It's all on our talk. It's written on our heart. And I thought that was really, really telling, and that, you know, there are different ways of doing things and understanding. And sometimes for that reason, when we're walking and working in two worlds, things take a lot longer, because often Balinda have expectations that Yolngu people do things in a different way. And likewise, Yolngu should and can have expectations that Balinda do things in a different way. And it takes a lot of patience on both sides. I dare say in my many years of working alongside Indigenous people now, Indigenous people are far more patient and gracious than average Balinda people in these remote contexts, which gives me a lot of shame. Something else I would just like to share along the lines of co-design and communication is that something I've become increasingly aware of is that the co-design and the reflection on this project are regularly happening outside Yolngu team members' paid working hours, because we have to remember that in Yolngu context, there's a very fine line between work and family life, and often they are very, very interconnected, particularly when it comes to this type of project where we are supporting the health of Yolngu people who are nearly always family members of the team in some way. And so work doesn't stop at the end of the day for the Yolngu team members. They're often having to respond to questions, recruit participants, provide health information and result information way outside the bounds of what Balinda people would see as work. And I recognise that in terms of Yolngu team members regularly coming into work of a morning and sharing stories about something they've learnt out in the community. So I think that that's something else that we have to really hold close to and acknowledge within a Balinda system, that work is really often outside the bounds of the office or where typical work from a Balinda perspective takes place, and that the communication is often happening in ways that many Balinda wouldn't necessarily recognise are typical forms of communication related to work.
It would be lovely just to hear a positive story about some of the participants.
Some participants were very scared about their health issues, but we encouraged them, about their diet, especially diabetes and cholesterol. We urged them to eat manma ngata, kut ngata, get away from naumalange, sweet naumalange, especially nakun, all the sweet ngata from takeaway, we just tell them, it's up to them, to stop from eating fast food, like ngata.
I am very conscious of, with the current success we're having with the Walking Together program, is that when we're out undertaking health checks with Yolngu participants, everyone is still clearly so comfortable and no one's in a hurry. People want to stay and ask questions. The team have been very invested in developing resources to really support people to understand their results in a way that makes sense on their terms, in a Yolngu way.
I understand there's some really lovely stories about people who have changed their diet and taken that advice on board. I know there was one man that was dancing and showing us his muscles after a good result.
Yeah. There are a lot of them, and they had a manmak result after a 3 months check. Everything went well,
And from my observation, it's not just from the project, but I think it also demonstrates the power of collaboration and working together so positively.
As we move through the 3 month health checks, we are definitely seeing some improvements in participants. And Sarah, I think you're absolutely right that the changes are a result of the program and the information and the results. But maybe more importantly, that these participants are feeling nurtured and looked out for by the group of Walking Together staff and listened to. And many are showing that they just really enjoy coming for their health checks or having their health checks at their home. And it turns into a bit of a social event. And as well as doing the health checks themselves, the point of care health checks, there's lots of opportunity for talking and reflecting. And I think we all know now that the relatively poor health in remote Indigenous communities is due to a huge range of factors, social determinants, and that those conversations, as well as supporting to help physical health, some of those conversations are maybe supporting people's emotional well-being or connecting people with other these services that they maybe didn't exist. And also, one of the big goals of the project is to try to improve the relationship between community and the existing clinic. And that is a role of the Walking Together team too, to be able to support people to go for recalls and checkups at the clinic. And if there's any hesitation for the participant, the Walking Together staff offer to accompany them to be able to assist both in terms of just arriving at the clinic, but also going through to the consultation at the clinic. Just in terms of some of the positive stories, as we've shared results, I think because we have a local team that speak Yolngu Matta and are presenting the results in Yolngu Matta and being able to show this comparison, but in the gaps between health checks, those results all of a sudden have meaning. And we've absolutely had participants break out in dance when their HbA1c has gone down a little bit. And in turn, we're offering a lot of encouragement to continue on that healthy pathway. Dukar Gawal Nalil.
One young boy, they had a checkup at George's house. And this was his first time to do the checkup. They told him, this is, you've got this. And he found it was really good and helpful. And looking at his sugar levels and everything, in the hospital, they don't tell them result. So that boy, he went around to where he works at Birkbir. And he said to the workers there, I would like you to go and ask the research people to come and do a checkup here to all the boys, young boys and the elderly boys that works here. So we did, we were all there to do a checkup on all of them, and they found out they're interested, all the boys. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That really shows such a positive impact on the community, because maybe they're a group that wouldn't have been necessarily checked before.
Health on Elko Island has undergone significant changes over the years. In the olden days, Yolngu people lived closely connected to the land and sea, relying on traditional knowledge and natural foods for sustenance and well-being. This lifestyle fostered strong physical health and a deep spiritual connection to country. But with the introduction of Western influences, processed foods and a shift away from traditional practices, health challenges like diabetes, heart disease and other chronic conditions have emerged. Today the community faces a delicate balance between preserving the strengths of Yolngu knowledge and adapting to modern life.
You see the difference when our people, old people, when they were living in this land, they used to hunt, they used to walk a long way to find maple. They used to go hunting also in the bush to get yams, they walked. That's how the Yolngu people nowadays could do. We want the Yolngu people to eat good food, more now vegetables and fruit, small amount of meat, and the fish, dugong, turtle, long-neck turtle, geese, that it now is hunt here at Kalyanko, and the maple as well.
I just want to clarify from Rako's perspective. I'm George, as a researcher. It's not all about our status, Aboriginal. It's all about my people that are getting sick here. We have so many funerals up here. There's too many deaths up here. Yeah. So I'm very, very concerned about my people.
What do you think is the solution? I know that's a really hard question, but do you think it is more education?
You need more education, health education. I want more stronger education for the health, for the benefit of my people here. It's for my people here.
I think something that has become very evident to me as I've worked in this space and have been mentored by Gulamunda and Gurrumbaka is that, yes, the answer is education, but there's a much deeper story behind the education. And I think one of the complexities and points of confusion for many Yolngu people in communities when it comes to messaging around food is that there is currently such an expectation that Yolngu comply with and operate within Bulunda systems. Yolngu children are expected to go to school, and while we have a bilingual school program here, there's still an expectation that they're learning Bulunda education ways, then to move into a job and to follow a trajectory that very much has been determined by outsiders and the Bulunda systems. Now, part of that Bulunda system is the food coming from stores rather than traditional food coming off the land. Now, it can be very confusing when there's this expectation people comply with Bulunda systems but then are told not to eat particular Bulunda foods. And so that is all part of the education that is required, because at the moment there are some stores in the community where very unhealthy food is very easily accessible. And those Bulunda systems are offering that. Why shouldn't people think that's okay when there's such an expectation they're complying with other systematic types of pressures and forms of education? So I think probably one of my messages is that my experience operating in the Bulunda world is that people in communities like Gallawinku can often be blamed for their ill health. Why can't people just stop drinking so much soft drink and eating so much fried food? Well, it is just so much more complex than that. And I think the Walking Together team are really taking a step in the right direction, walking together forward in trying to provide accessible, culturally safe, linguistically appropriate education materials, and not just the materials, but that way that education and that dawa, that information, is shared with people so people can start making informed choices about their health.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, and I
say, Kalau Engku is my home. Kalau Engku people are my people. That's all.
Shoulders, knees and toes, Lia lambar bun gomuloko, bun gomuloko. Lia lambar bun gomuloko, bun gomuloko. Ga ngoro ga manguchi ga turura ga lia. Kong lambar bun gomuloko, bun gomuloko.
This has been Two Worlds, One Health. I'm Luana Grant. Follow Two Worlds, One Health on the SBS audio app or wherever you get your podcasts for more stories from Elko Island.